If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Young Dr. Mike. We're talking with Bridget and myself. Bridget is our resident in-house dietitian for the You, the Owner Manual Radio Show. And we're going to talk at half past with Michael Gurian, the author of The Wonder of Aging, A New Approach to Embracing Life After 50. And as Daniel Amen said, a very important book. This is a really fun book to read, as well as it's got a lot of very interesting information in it. Michael Gurian. Bridget,
yes.
Now you were in North Carolina.
Yes.
And but in what I would call rational part of North Carolina, that is, it's not a fried food capital of North Carolina.
It's not, but they still ate so unhealthy there. I was amazed.
What'd they eat there? What was their favorite? What was the favorite food there that you had to avoid?
Well, I avoided most places that my roommates went to eat because I lived with three boys who I didn't know prior to living with them. And they were in their mid-20s and they loved Bojangles, Cookout, and this other like fried barbecue place. And they refused to take me there because they knew that I was vegetarian and gluten-free and said that I wouldn't like anything.
Now, we should talk a little bit about gluten-free. Gluten-free isn't necessarily low sugar, is it?
Right. No, it's not at all.
So how do you get low sugar? In other words, gluten-free means you don't have certain component of the wheat.
You don't have the...
And barley, et cetera. You don't have the gluten protein.
Right, exactly.
Which means you're stripping the carbohydrate, if you're having carbohydrate that's gluten-free, and getting carbohydrate that actually could raise your blood sugar.
Yeah, it's a huge challenge, I think, to eat gluten-free and to do it well. I've been gluten-free for 9 years now, so it's taken me a really long time to learn how to do it, and obviously it's helped studying nutrition. That's what prompted me to go into it, but it can be very challenging to eat healthy gluten-free, and I think that people perceive gluten-free food to be so healthy. My roommates in undergrad would do it all the time. They started buying all of the gluten-free foods that I would because they were just like, oh, if you're eating them, then it means that they're healthy, and I had to show them the nutrition labels on some things because in order to compensate for the lack of the wheat that adds a lot of the texture to the food, they add, food manufacturers pump in fat and sugar to make it taste better. So some of my gluten-free products weren't actually healthier than theirs.
So this may not be the healthy, gluten-free does not mean healthy, and I think we want to bring that point out.
Yes, especially now that the food manufacturers have done an amazing job with technology, an amazing job, I'll say, for those that have celiac disease and have to be gluten-free that can't find good tasting options. Like when I went gluten-free 9 years ago, there was nothing. I would cry at dinner every night because everything tasted awful and the food would like disintegrate in my mouth. It's come a really long way. So now food manufacturers are able to make more processed foods gluten-free and taste good. So it's really challenging because it's gluten-free doesn't mean that the processed food that you're buying is any healthier.
So what is your favorite gluten-free product now? Then pick a healthy one, will you?
Well, I really like quinoa. I eat quinoa all the time because it's a complete protein and it's also gluten-free.
And by complete protein, what she means is there are 16 amino acids that are essential. And quinoa just happens to have all 16 mm-hmm. in the quinoa protein armamentarium. That is, when you eat quinoa, you get all 16 essential amino acids.
And quinoa and soy are the only two plant-based foods that have all complete protein. So I really like quinoa, and I really like beans, which are naturally gluten-free. I try and stick with foods that are naturally gluten-free that aren't processed. And I think that helps me ensure that I'm staying away from foods that are really high in sugar and things like that, because a lot of gluten-free foods have either a lot of fat added to them or a lot of sugar in refined carbohydrates.
Okay, now let's go to another of the medical stories of the week. And I teased this a little bit. The intake of fish and marine N3 polyunsaturated fatty acids and risk of breast cancer. So this was a meta-analysis, which means it's reanalyzing all of the studies that have come before. And it's 21 independent prospective studies. Did you know that omega-3s decreased your risk of breast cancer?
No, I had. This is actually
a pretty large decrease. So we know that aspirin does it. We know that the cruciferous vegetables do it. We know that saturated fat increases the risk of breast and prostate cancer, both the incidence of it and the virility, that is, how likely it is to metastasize. But I didn't, and there's one study on walnuts that I was aware of showing that walnut eating, 12 walnuts a day, 12 walnut halves a day, 6 walnut halves twice a day, decreased breast cancer rates by about 30%, which is, and
wow,
walnuts are the only nut with appreciable amount of omega-3 in them. But this was a new thing to me, that this is the eating fish, and it correlated with both fish eating and the levels of DHA and EPA in tissue. So it's the actual higher grade fish omega-3s. So you want, if you're going to take it as a supplement, and it could be taken as supplements in this omega-3, that those higher grade decrease the risk of breast cancer by 5% for every tenth of a gram extra, if you will, and I'll explain what I mean, tenth of a gram extra of fish oils you ate per day. So in other words, it's a, what that means is that if you get 900 milligrams of DHA a day, which is the right amount for protecting your eyes and your brain, that also would decrease your risk of breast cancer by about 40%. That probably also means it would decrease your risk of prostate cancer, because what holds for the breast is usually found for the prostate and vice versa. So the dose response analysis, the risk of breast cancer is decreased by 5% for every 100 milligrams or tenth of a gram you have.
Pretty awesome.
Do you have fish that often
on
your diet, or do you take fish oil supplements?
Well,
or
I started taking
DHA?
I started taking fish oil after I started working for you.
Good. Okay. Now, you got to tell me another one of your favorite stories. There actually, I should tell our listeners, there are a ton of favorite stories this week, as well as a set of really great questions you sent, and I'm going to get to some of the questions in a second, but I wanted to at least get some of these stories, since they're so good, to talk to you about some of the stories.
Well, another of my favorite stories, and I'm sorry, most of my stories that end up being my favorite usually have to do with diet and nutrition, and I try not to make it like that, but I'm obviously slightly biased. So I really liked the study that came out this past week that analyzed the effect of parents talking to adolescents about their weight, and more specifically parents of overweight adolescents, and the way that talking about weight loss a lot of times prompted kids to try and lose weight in unhealthy ways by dieting or becoming anorexic or bulimic. And it's interesting because they found that parents who did certain things were more successful at encouraging their kids to live a healthier life.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about what happens when grandparents do that, if you will, with Michael Gurian, The Wonder of Aging, A New Approach to Embracing Life After 50. We're on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. That's what you're listening to. Please stay with us. We'll be right back on Radio MD. Remember, you can always email us or call us your questions, 877-711-5211. We'll be right back. Radio MD, stay well.